Blog Talk Radio.
This is K-Sun and Friends. Like I said, I'm K-Sun, Eric Payne, and our friends are the legendary newsman, Wayne Gilman, the legendary historian, Byron Saunders. And, you know, we all know the news by now that allegedly Roe v. Wade might be overturned. Bizarre thing if you're a woman that someone is trying to tell to do with your body, and it's from a very male, white male perspective, white supremacist perspective. So why do you think that that would be the case in a country that is becoming more and more diverse? Why do you think that would be the case? Would it be a numbers thing? Could it be perhaps that white men want white women to have more babies? I don't know. Right? Could that be it? Could be that too many black women, black and brown women, use the services of Planned Parenthood services more than just abortion-provided services, but a lot of healthcare services. Could it be that there's too many black and brown people that are benefiting from that? It could be any number of things. But one thing I know that I've learned through the course of my life is that it appears that there's a certain segment of white supremacist America that is white supremacist America. A certain segment of people in America that are not, that don't believe in white supremacy. It seems that they're a minority. Or for some reason, a lot of people are swayed by the minority because it just said the statistics are some 50 to 70% of people in the United States believe in a woman's right to choose. Somehow, that minority is the one that seems to control. Somehow, they're getting their little checkmate. Somehow, some way. Like the Electoral College, right, when they abolished slavery and they needed to have that Electoral College so those slave-owning states could have kind of, you know, broken many times. So they always keep their cotton pulled in there. Their ties, their control of white supremacy, the country is run. And so when I see that over the course of my life, that there are individuals that they will not even, I can understand you make it a system, you make a crooked system, it's your system, you work your system. But then when you don't even have any allegiance to the system that you created, when it's not working for you anymore and you just want to tear it all down, you want to change the rules, come tear down the walls, smash up the place, attack. So, seeing that these individuals try to lie their way out of being one of the most Chinese people coming back and a place in the country that everyone collectively decided would be some sort of hollowed ground, right? We, you know, society works only when people buy into the rules or to the notion that we're all going to live in this together. And we're all going to abide by these basic principles. And that only works when everybody's doing it right. And when everybody's peeping that there's a certain number of individuals who claim to, under the authority given to them by the populace, and they do what they want, you realize it's all a facade. made up a system they could continue to pimp every day. And with the reverse of these rights of these individuals trying to tell what to do with their bodies, it's only the beginning. I believe the Republican Party is trying to take the right to vote away from black people. I believe they want black people to be slaves again. What else am I to believe? So watch all their actions, listening to what they say, because they're going to lie to us. What else am I to believe, and why do I respect their authority? It makes me wonder why I should respect the authority they claim to have, other than the fact that they probably have more weapons. That's really it, because they're willing to use that. We saw how they reacted, and certainly how protesting, George Floyd protests, and how the people move, so go over there and exercise his power. We see how the police departments react across the country when black people protest shooting, killing of unarmed black people. So the bottom line is, power, might makes right. That's what these individuals believe, and clearly that's the way they've been rolling all along. And I also think that there's some people on their side that claim to be on our side. There's some double agent somewhere. Because surely, you would think that even as devastating as this is, this decision, the Democrats would look at it as a gift to really run on just how full of shit and complete liars the other side is, right? Because when you talk to all the Senate, I mean, when you talk to these justices, you know, that's what the hearings are for. People want to know how they're going to decide or which way. And I think most of them were asked if they believe that Roe v. Wade was established law. They said, yeah, it was established and it was challenged. It was a president. And so it's law, so meaning that it wouldn't be revisited again. But, of course, it's a lie. They lie all the time. They lie. And Democrats end up looking like Chuck Brown, and the Republicans are Lucy with the football because we want to believe. But I don't believe that we're that. I believe that there's some agent who claimed to be on our side just throw a wrench. To talk about this guy's crimes against the United States, this guy encouraging a mob to the Capitol. How can that not be talked about every day? And the case made that this minute shouldn't be even a conversation. It should be a sentence that someone considers that he could have any type of authority in this country. But look, still, yet he does. That tells me that everybody who claimed to be down with the program ain't down with the program. You've heard me say before, the honor system only works for motherfuckers in the system of honor. Honor is in short supply here, my friends. It's in short supply here. We're in a war against these people who have devilish actions, evil intentions, same things that they would say that they've been saying about the Democrats, made up lies that Hillary Clinton was a child molester, a whole ridiculous thing. And there are people who want to say twice about it. They believe it automatically. These are the descendants of people who thought that black people were not human. Clearly, if you can have a perspective in 2021, you can react without really, and I've been guilty of this too, so I'm gonna, if you can react without thinking first, without thinking, wow, is that really, I've seen shit on, you know, I watch MSNBC, I've seen it on MSNBC and CNN, networks that I support, but, you know, I watch because I'm a Democrat, mostly. And I've seen them say stuff like, oh, come on, yo, now you're really trying to poke it or really like that. You know, even on Black News Channel, I saw one of the hosts, which unfortunately is Black News Channel, I saw one of the shows say something about one of the Republicans about something that they said, and they showed the clip, and that's not what the person said at all. And they tried to, I don't know if they were aware of the clip or not, but, you know, if you deal in truth, the truth is going to be regardless of who you're with, who you're down with. And if you're friends with somebody, then they're going to want you to tell them the truth. You know, it might hurt them. Right? State legislature across the country, there's Republican-controlled state legislatures that have been restricting the right to vote for black people and finding ways here and there to restrict, cut back, and narrow down votes. The way the gerrymander, the districts, the whole nine, is it not obvious? Is it not obvious? It is obvious. So therefore, that tells me that everybody that's seen the obvious bullshit, some people are cool with it. And some of those people are the people that claim they're not cool with it. I mean, a very clear example, Joe Manchin and Christian Siminoff, right? They're supposed to be outside, but still and yet, they missed no opportunity to throw a wrench in the Democratic program. Democrats, such a wide open party, open to everybody come in, any old wild shit. That's why these people are extreme progressive people. Haven't done history, but they just got a mouthpiece and they start talking and some extreme other progressives. Oh yeah, let's jump in that way. Black people, we don't have that luxury. People, we have to move as a team. And when some certain individuals want to talk about, well, you should do no. Always bet on black. Let me bring the fellas in. That's why Passenger 57 ain't paying attention. My man Wesley Snipes, one of his lines in the movie. Brother Byron Saunders, how you doing this evening?
I see you on the path to justice and freedom, and thank you for using the word truth, because you see, isn't it amazing that the thing that everybody is bending over backwards, doing you name it, because somebody leaked the truth. Hello.
Right.
Okay.
That's the thing they're mad at, right?
I find that so amazing. Yeah. Mm. Everybody's like, well, who did it? Who did it? I want to know. I want an investigation. You see? So I don't care who leaked it. I want to know the truth. I'm tired of these lies. See, they want to throw some more lies and tell you something else that wasn't happening, but now the big leak.
All of a sudden they have integrity. Stole Obama, Supreme Court nominee. All of a sudden these people have integrity. That's what I'm talking about. There's a standard operating procedure sometimes in D.C. that people follow. And then these liars, these people we should not recognize any authority that they have, they'll make it up. These are devils. They are racist people. And they want to see America go back to next. And they're talking about Yish was on one of the shows, and she was talking to a protester who used to protest at one of the abortion clinics for so long. He's finally, and they said his next thing is going to be same-sex marriage. He's going to go after and discount that, you know. And so, and next is going to be interracial marriage, and after it's going to be cut back on the right. It's the vote by black people. You going to say, Byron?
Wow. Yeah. I have a question for you and Wayne, when Wayne comes on. Do you think God believes in abortion?
I don't know, but let's
I want you to think about that question real deep and profound. Because you see, coming to terms, and naturally, hold on, because at the point at which in nature itself, the woman told me this, she says, you know, it seems really odd that in nature itself, coming to terms, it does not always happen. So what do you call that? I mean, I saw a little dead bird out on the driveway. It didn't make it. This is nesting season time. I got pregnant robins and wrens all over the place in my house, at my front porch. But one didn't make it. And I'm like, that's nature. You see, because a setback in a couple who's trying to have a child, and then for whatever reason, the carrier cannot carry, and it aborts naturally. So answer the question, because at the point at which when man tries to play God, that's when we really get in trouble. And I mean, this is going to continue, and it's going to energize politically as it should. But think about it. We're arguing over somebody leaked the truth. Wow.
Yeah, they're crazy. Let's
Wayne
in here. Legendary man, Wayne Gilman. How you doing, Wayne? What's your opinion?
Hey, good evening, gentlemen, man. This has been such a profound week, you know. From the time I heard the announcement, I was just happened to be watching Rachel Maddow the night that the news broke, and all of a sudden I felt like I was thrown back to the 1950s, that Amos and Andy was on TV and the Honeymooners, you know, the live, the original versions, and, you know, afraid to go out in the streets because of all sorts of stupidity, racial conflicts that were prevalent back then, depending upon where you were in this country. And it just, you know, I've lived through so much, and you, after, I guess, once you get to my age, and I'm not ashamed to hide this anymore, I just turned to 70 in the earlier part of December of last year, and, you know, you see the civil rights movement, you see Vietnam, you see what has gone on, you know, in the Middle East, and you think that we've made gains and that the country has basically accepted, you know, I mean, I used to look at the whole Roe versus Wade situation, that the law had, that it had been codified across the country, whether you agreed with it or not. You know, I mean, I came up Catholic, and, you know, it was a big issue in the church. It still is, you know. But I was personally faced, and I've never said this before, I don't even think your mother even met my ex-wife, but I had a situation where I had a decision to make in 1979, whether terminate a pregnancy or have my ex die. They called it assault back then, you know? I lived through situations where...
You might explain that. You might want to explain a little bit clearer.
Okay. And, okay. My ex became toxic during the latter part of her pregnancy, and they had no way of controlling it. You know, I mean, it was a situation whereby I knew that I was about to have a male child. I knew that... whatever problems that she was going through and having an ability to come to terms, it could not happen. You know, she was like in the seventh month, and, you know, did everything that we could possibly do to sustain the healthy pregnancy. And we had more than one doctor, but, you know, the deal is that they said that, you know, it would be in our best interest. I don't want to sound like it was my decision alone. But I wouldn't, you know, I knew my wife, but I, you know, obviously could not understand, you know, what was about to happen because I was young. I look back at that and I'm just saying to myself, God, forgive me. I mean, you know, what was I supposed to do?
So you're saying it was a life and death situation, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Right.
You
know, but I know many other people. I knew people who were capable of delivering, didn't have the issues that I was facing, you know, and they went to places like Puerto Rico to have an abortion because they just felt it wasn't the right thing to do. And I tell you, I mean, somebody needs to expose. And again, I believe in God, and I blame Byron for bringing the whole religious aspect of this up. But I grew up in an era where you know, there were nuns giving birth and aborting their pregnancies and had them buried in Catholic cemeteries right here in New York City, you know?
Really?
Once in a while you hear these rumors or these stories coming up. Someone should take the time. I could take you to one cemetery where it has been said for years, you know, during the 40s, the 30s, and the 50s, that, you know, if a nun became impregnated by a Catholic priest, you know, obviously they would just end this and bury it in this particular cemetery here in the Bronx, you know. So, I mean, the deal is there's so many ways of looking at this thing, but I just thought that we were past all this by now. And I have to say, to quote Minister Louis Farrakhan, that Republican Party is so wickedly great. You know, it's like nothing stops them They are passionate about, you know, turning
their
around
wickedness.
And getting and you know, just changing the system. And
could it be
perhaps
it's sick.
Perhaps one of the things that we need to acknowledge is it has become a party of terrorists. Because you see, at the point at which the attack on women's rights that you said you thought it was codified. Yeah, 50 years. It would have been 50 years this year.
You would
but
think.
At the point at which, but not just you would think, but the fact that they kept biting at it and eroding it to the core so that by the time it got to be rotten, everybody else would be saying, well, why did we have this? They tried to do the same thing with the Affordable Care Act. You see, let's put it all into perspective. Now, this didn't happen overnight. This has been ongoing and ongoing. Now, what is the danger that we are engaging is that on one end, yes, we have this far-right jihad, I'm going to call it Christianity, and on the left side, while they're fighting all of the ambiguous moral issues that they want to claim are their right to fight, is that you're over-sexualizing young girls. Right now, that same group of people who are trying to protect childbirth and childhood are over-sexualizing their young children so that they're
growing
up to
become... Okay, I need you to clarify that. I need you to clarify that, Byron, because I don't know what you mean.
Clarifying it is in every television, every movie, every fashion
right,
design.
Right, but you said the same people on which side? You said the same people on which
side are
over-sexualized?
On the right, on the right, are engaging in just the opposite of what they claim their moral code is trying
right.
to attack.
Right.
And the truth of the matter is that, yes, you want to save life, but then you don't want to save lives. You don't want to feed these lives. You don't want to educate them properly live. You don't want to try to keep them out of prison live. You don't want to even give them an opportunity to step into their own light unless you pick of where they're supposed to be headed. That's slavery.
Well, I thought that was that notion floated in my
slavery.
Mind. Maybe they want people to have poor black people to have more children because that's more slaves. Maybe that's
see,
more prison in the pipeline.
Well, that's true, but then what we're really beginning to see is questioning the Supreme Court profile of the last three. You could actually say the last four because they all lied.
Right.
They all committed perjury, and now you're saying, even Susan Collins is saying, oh, it doesn't really sound like they could, you know, this is not how they projected it to me when I was talking about it. They said it was going to be, it's like, excuse me, Susan Collins? Excuse me? You backed this crap. And then you're going to try to get your exit off the rail because now they've proven, as we kept trying to tell you guys, they lied and perjured. So what do you do with those who lied and perjured? The system says you impeach them. You see, the simplicity of the system is, yes, it's convoluted and messed up. But the simplicity of the system still says when you perjure, you have committed a federal crime. So what's the statute on federal crimes and perjury? There is no limitation to Congress, which you have been invited to come and testify to do what? Tell the truth?
None of that makes a difference if you have people that aren't telling the truth and they ain't going to go by the system and they don't give a shit about the system and they'll flip the system. All of that is great. But like I said, the honor system only works when you got honorable people in the system. And if they're not recognizing the authority of the system, that's what I'm talking about.
What do you do with people who do not honor the system, Eric?
What'd you say?
What do you do with those people? What do you do? Let's make Eric.
You get control of
the
system,
no,
and then you work it.
What do you do with those people who do not honor the system? That they're supposed to be protecting. What is the answer to that quandary?
Blow up the system. It needs to be corrected, man. I mean, it's gotten to the point now. I was just channel surfing because I wanted to hear what the right wing had to say before coming on, and I couldn't believe I heard some white guy, some talking head, blaming Ketanji Brown.
Yeah, Newsmax. I saw that too.
I'm just saying, what's this about?
That's exactly what
I'm talking
about.
She's not even in there yet.
But that's what exactly what I'm talking about.
Right,
the white supremacy, racist motherfuckers
really
that do that all the time.
Does it really matter who leaked it? The fact is, the awesomeness of leaking it is the fact that truth can't be crushed to earth. Someone was trying to keep this from getting out to the public. And you know what? I don't give a damn who it was. I hope it was the Chief Justice himself. You know,
yeah, well,
I don't
listen,
care
I
who
agree.
Leaked it.
Uh-huh.
Well,
and
about what, potato chips?
You know, and instead of all these Republicans celebrating, you know, they have sour faces on, you know, on right now because they know that this is the, you know, we're in the we're at the precipice of the midterm elections coming up, and they figured that Democrats would probably, as we traditionally do, you know, would not be so actively involved in wanting to cast a vote, you know, because it's not the presidential elections or a mayoral election, you know. But this issue has everybody, you know, this is like George Floyd all over again, you know.
I just hope it sustains itself.
I hope the anger continues right up till November, you know.
Because the other issue that's going to compact everything into the anger that you just expressed, and God forbid it should burst all over the place, is that, and there's a potential that the anger that we're talking about is that we're about to see $33 billion flow through the United States Treasury to do what to Ukraine? And 403 years, you're asking me, our African Americans, to wait for who? Waiting for Godot?
I hear you.
Excuse me?
You know, it's so funny.
No,
I just want to as you mentioned that, Byron, I just want to commend to your attention, both of you. There's this YouTube video that Jon Stewart, the comedian, used to be on the show that Trevor Noah has taken over.
Yeah.
And the title of the YouTube video is called "What's Wrong with White People," and I mean, it is so clear. I mean, he goes point by point for 30 minutes, and you know, it's funny, but so much of it is accurate. You know.
Oh yeah, I've seen clips of it. You're right.
It's crazy. I mean, they know what's going on, and you know, they just want to relegate us to how things were. I mean, as I said, I felt this like I was going through a time machine when I heard the words coming out of Rachel's mouth that, you know, we're actually going to go back to this era again, things that, you know, we thought that were past us, that no one ever thought, you know. And you mentioned Susan Collins. You know, I think, you know, there were who was it, the San Francisco a member of the Senate, I can't think of a name off the top of my head, but they were saying that she was suffering from dementia. Have you ever followed the speech pattern of Susan Collins? You know?
Yeah, she sounds like she has a speech impediment.
Please.
That's just a speech of physical thing, but
see, the thing is, the sleeping tiger, and as they say, the sleeping elephant in the room is the women's vote, and it has been. The dynamics of the women's vote is now front and center. It's either going to help to save the nation, or it will go down with the nation and the women who didn't stand up, because there are more women who believe that this than there are that are trying to make it worse. The ones who are trying to make it worse are still a minority. See, we keep forgetting this is a minority who is out of control. They need to be put back into their place, need to be reminded that they are a minority in a democracy. We don't accept that as their idea of rule. Challenge,
that's what I'm saying.
But it's going to have to be established, and, you know, we're spending how many billions on Ukraine? We're trying to tell the world might makes right.
Yeah, people ain't really paying that much, you know, the rank and file. They're not really as focused on that, you know. But one thing that people need to pay attention to. What was the last point you said, Byron? I wanted to tag on to that. That you said, but the bottom line is in terms of women coming out. I got it. In terms of women coming out to vote.
Yes.
Bottom line is that the Democrats really need to, you know, do a serious GOTV get out the vote thing. It's like I said before.
Yeah.
We're all everybody's claiming to be a Democrat is not really a Democrat. There's got to be some. It makes no sense to me that it seems that it's too easy to hold up a guy who tried to tear down the system of our country. You know, you talked about a minority. It's that minority, for some reason, there's a minority that still keeps to have this great amount of effect on the country, that still seems to move things. And it clearly, that's what tells me, it must be an inside job. Because how can a minority control the flow of the country, control the majority? So on our side, we're either not doing anything, or we got everybody that want to do their own thing too much and don't focus on the task at hand, or we all don't come together when we need to come together. You know, Republicans are like, everybody talks about it, admires their ability to march in lockstep and to get something achieved. But I think it's done out of fear that these people have been told all their lives that you're losing, you're getting your rights taken away, you're not this, you're not that, all these people, and they try to put it on the black and brown people, but they used to be able to just straight put it on black people, black Americans back in slavery and Jim Crow and all that stuff. Now they can't be so obvious about it, so it's the immigrants, it's the criminals, it's Obama being elected president or Kamala being elected vice president, so therefore they don't have to show any authority to the American government anymore. That's the whole notion, that America, there was a shadow government or whatever bullshit they were making up, was because more, in my opinion, more black and brown people are achieving positions of power within the government and the various Democratic parties. And so the way you do that is that you undermine their authority. I read an article that I posted on my Facebook today about how black doctors are facing the racism. And this one brother was particular that was highlighted. He was got the job of head neurosurgeon at some hospital outside of Atlanta, and he was doing good, and people were supporting him, but he started doing too good. Some of the white doctors, he was taking their business away, and they started undermining him and questioning his decisions and things like that. And eventually they fired him, the company. So this is all across the board. There's no reason for me to think after 62 years that these motherfuckers are going to change their colors, change their stripes. It's going to be a certain group of them that's going to be cool, and it's going to be a certain group that's not going to be cool. And when we get to the point where we understand that and not try to be, oh, it's American. We could, you know, when I hear black people, when I see black people stand with organizations that seem to be mostly populated with white individuals, which tells me that maybe the majority of people in the group that you're in, black person, might not have the same value system, might not have the same goals, might not have the same objectives, and have the same things that they need to have happen for them that you need. So stop diluting your fucking power and joining the other side. I saw a guy on TV tonight that Yamiche interviewed as a brother talk about, we're going to dismantle, as a brother, we're going to dismantle abortion. Well, what I understand, and I have a friend who was a, she was a junior pastor, parents are very religious, and they're Republicans because of the abortion stand. Well, that's great. Isn't that just great? But what the Republicans are doing to your black people and cutting back on the rights of black people, you got to weigh it out.
Well, you know, the thing, and I am in agreement with everything that you've said thus far, Eric, but the only thing that I'm looking at, I look at the issue of misinformation, what social media has done. It's been positive in many ways, and it's also been very negative. I go back to the 25-year-old Wayne that had to make a decision because his hormones were raging, and I did things out of control. There are white people who were my age back then going through the same thing, and either if they had the means in which to carry out or getting better health care. You know, I thought that I had gone, I'm living in New York, I thought this was like the citadel of all medical care in the country. And there was nothing that I could have done for my ex-wife, And it changed the nature of my relationship. But there are people who are out there in other parts of the country faced with the same set of circumstances, who are not well off, that made decisions by mistake. And maybe the thing is that, you know, they don't want to understand, you know, the cost or the price of bringing in a life that they cannot comfortably care for because they're young kids at that age also. Right. You know, I mean, it's just one of those things. I mean, I was ready to accept my responsibility. I was on the precipice of marrying, you know, at the time when this happened was just before we had gotten married. But the deal is the relationship was never the same. She never wanted to have, and I wanted to have. You know, I mean, it's, you know, this
well,
that, so
that's
so multifaceted, this whole abortion
right.
issue.
Right, of
and,
course.
And,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I feel like I'm breaking up.
Finish your point.
But,
we can hear you clearly.
Yeah. But you know, the thing is, it's so multifaceted. There's so many ways that you have to look at it. But it really angers me that after all this time, you know, I'm in my third act of my life now. You know, I hope I have another 30 years. But, you know, you figure that you've lived through so much and then suddenly see the clock go back 50 years in a nanosecond or more, you know, and you're right. You know, this is the first wave. Next thing is going to be gay rights. And then, you know, I'd forgotten about the whole issue about some states you can't even be in an interracial relationship with people. I mean, you know, the thing is you want to feel that we've progressed, you know, we've gone through so much in media that you see so much in television commercials, you know, where a black guy's with a white woman or a fair-skinned woman or whatever they're trying to do to affect your mindset towards this whole generational change that we're going through. But there's so many elements still there that just want to keep us back at where things were when we got here. And it's just very disturbing. I mean, but I'm glad that in a way, if I'm angry and I'm not a woman, but I know what I went through and I know anyone of my generation who basically fought for the rights of women and understood what was going on back then and all the protesting. I just hope that those who are still around will make it a point to get out, to right this ship, because we cannot afford to have this go back. I wouldn't want the next generation of young people coming up to live through what we thought we had succeeded at. You know, same thing with voting rights. All this stuff has got to come to an end. You know, it's frustrating. It really
you know,
is.
Dynamic. I'm mostly concerned with the issues. I'm mostly concerned with the issues as they affect black people. The abortion issue is something that affects everybody. It's as individual as everyone who has to consider that, right? However, I'm concerned about the issues of my people because that's the constant in my life that I've seen oppression from. And it's all around us, and it's in this fucking society. So the whole everybody going, great, everybody going through the shit, whatever. But not really. We're not all going through it equally. So,
no,
so my,
well, I understand
concern,
that. So don't get me wrong.
I'm just talking about the way I look at shit. I'm looking at how it affects black people because that's been denied from us for so very long. And you talk about social media now and misinformation. United States has been given misinformation from day one. You know, Randolph Hearst and all those newspaper barons just putting in what the fuck they want to do. So it's been misinformation from day one. It was misinformation that black people were less than human. You know, it's misinformation in that piece of paper that they call the Constitution that they hold so dearly, where the idiot Alito says it's not in the history and tradition. Abortion is not in the history and traditions of this country. What are you talking about? So slavery was in the history and tradition of this country too. So you're saying, are you making a case, building a case for us to go back to that? It's that mentality constantly going back and not letting that document evolve as it pertains. Because to me,
if you come with bullshit, they had slaves. They had slaves back then in the Constitution when they were writing, all men are created equal. So clearly, your statement is bullshit.
Exactly.
So why should I listen to and give credit to and authority to anything that you say? That's what I'm saying. To me, seeing how these people go, seeing up close and seeing from afar, there are no rules except for the rules that are accepted for that time period. But they don't operate by any rules. They operate by the rules when it's advantageous to them, and they'll make them up and tell you what you need to go by and see how much of a sucker you're going to be while they go do what they want to do. So that's, you know, my perspective is so just seeing through the bullshit. It's just these people, and you're right. We shouldn't have to be in this same position, and we're not in the same position. John Lewis will be the first one. I'm always hearing his voice. We're not where we were. It's not as bad as it was, but it's not where it needs to be. And I'm paraphrasing.
Exactly.
But that man could have that perspective and have the eternal hope that it's going to get better, who almost died that day on Pettus Bridge. And if you think about that, he had to go through that and still come out loving. That's great. But I'm like Malcolm X. When a big fire comes, that big house is on fire, I'm praying for that strong wind to come, blow, and burn that shit down.
Well, we're not a monolith, our folks. You know, I agree. I understand what you're saying. I mean, it, you know.
That's our drawback. Sometimes we need to be. Sometimes we need to move.
Yeah, I hear you. I read you loud and clear, brother. I mean, there are times, you know, we get off the air here, and I think about some of the things you say, and I said, you know, like I've been through there, through some of what you've gone through with white folks, but, you know, the deal is your passion. And I try to look the other way. I don't know what that comes from, but, you know, maybe that's my shortcoming. We all have to go, you know, I will be the first to come out and complain if I felt that I've been personally affected by somebody's ignorance and racial, stupidity and stuff like that. But at the same time, I want to feel that there are people out there who get it, you know, like, John Stewart, even though it was a comedic effort, it was his artistic license to come up with that. But the bottom line is, I've worked with people like John Stewart. You'll come on air and say crap like that, and then behind the scenes, when you're trying to work with these folks, you know, they still look at you like as if you're, you know, step and fetch it. They look at you like, you know, you should be the Al Jolson of whatever it is that you're trying to do, working with the confines of the entertainment or the news business, what have you. I mean, as I said, there have been many pluses with this whole impact of what social media has brought, you know, to this earth, but, you know, there's no regulation. And unfortunately, there are a lot of people who are still swayed by personal opinion or who's ever influenced them in their thinking.
Right.
And I don't know what it's going to do to change. I mean, it's just one of those things. But it bothers me that Trump was able, because he said, it's been recorded, memorialized, that he was picking four people who wanted to get rid of Roe versus Wade, you know?
Yeah,
so it's not like as if this was, you know, some epiphany that just suddenly surfaced, you know? But again, we have the filibuster issue to contend with, and I remember one night we had your cousin on, and he was saying, you know, that maybe it's not something we should just totally, you know, because it works both ways. I understand that, but now this is a time when I really feel that it's really working against us. And
well,
I don't know what
it should go back to the traditional. The traditional filibuster was that you had to stand. It was a physical task, and they should go back to the traditional one. If you want to hold the floor, you actually have to be there and have it be, you know, the speaking filibuster. That was, you know, the whole Mr. Smith goes to Washington flavor. So that's what it should be if it's going to be one, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, man, to me, this – you know, and there are white allies. Of course, we have allies in the white community. And you know, the ones who
who have those type of, that you've had those experiences with, that they still look at you in a second class way, they're not really true allies, right? And also too, you know, a lot of white people, you know, that try to have their best of the best intentions, still there's some things that they don't understand in terms of how things can be taken and how things can be, you know, misconstrued because of the history that black people have felt in this country, because of the real history of oppression. So I think that's also, there's that as well. But I think as a whole, the majority, I don't know if the majority is feeling in a white supremacist mode, but I know that a lot of people, which is also a human nature characteristic to me, you know, a lot of people go with the flow, you know, and they're not going to get out there and make a big stink. They're not going to get, a lot of people aren't going to, you know, to get moved, to move someone to action is a big thing, right? You know, Wayne, for back in the day, it used to be said that for every million people or every one person that writes a letter into a TV show or radio, that represents a certain, there's some certain.
Exactly.
Sort of mathematical
equation.
Of the, right.
Right.
So, you know, and just the one person. So you just, if you think of it, about it from that perspective, that people really need prodding to move, to be active in some way, shape or form. And so when you have these seismic events like this, like the January 6th, that are so obvious and glaring that all you have to do is show the truth and tell the truth, you know, to more people, try to get it to more people. I mean, there's, like I said, there's a certain segment here. Clearly, that's what they want. It's not that they don't see the truth. That's their truth. And the way they see it is that, you know, you shouldn't say gay. You shouldn't teach any real history of the United States about anybody. And if you don't like it, you can leave the country. And they built the country, and black people didn't do nothing. And Native Americans were just here, and they weren't developing the land, and so the white man came over and developed the land. So
unbelievable.
Individuals that think like that, regardless of anything, right? That just means you're my opponent. If you think to be a slave and I don't, then that means we're opponents. We're on opposite sides of the field, and I'll meet you in the middle. Simple as that. Let's talk about, as we go up this last couple of minutes, another 10 minutes, you know, and you guys saw the Dave Chappelle, where he got attacked on stage. The dude came and tackled him at the Hollywood Bowl last night while he was performing. And then the dude probably got stomped out by security. But it just was talking about, you know, the whole people, freedom of, I mean, it goes into the line of freedom of speech. Because, you know, Dave has been catching a lot of flack from the trans community, and it was said that guy was a trans guy, trans man, or whatever. I don't know all the details, but, you know, it's something to be said when people are just, you know, peeing off on people. That there's no tolerance in terms of difference of ideas and perspectives.
Was he white or black?
The dude that tackled him was black.
Oh, really? Okay. That's interesting. I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yep.
The guy that they tackled was what?
Was black.
It was a black guy that they tackled.
That hopped about the audience and went after Dave Chappelle was a black dude.
Okay.
So, you know, I might have thought.
One of the things that we're missing here is the understanding of all the time we have can discuss about our being here for 403 years and all the incidents and of the 403 years and all the things we keep repeating and repeating and repeating, is the one thing that we don't see is the white male reprimanding his own species.
Right.
And because we have not seen that, it distorts the ideal of the simplicity of the law. Now, when we see that happening, because we just had the anniversary of Rodney King. I mean, okay?
Right, right. Well,
I understand where I can go with this. You see, I can keep calling up the incidences. There's 400 years of incidences. I'm a historian, yo, okay?
I hear you.
If you don't believe that in the critical race theory, then let me inform you about critical race truth. Because at the point at which, what message are you not getting? That because I've been repeating this message for centuries, for to be truthful. Now, at what point are you not punishing your own for or reprimanding your own for inflicting the punishment that you keep perpetuating on me?
Right.
Prove it to me that your system of justice actually works. Show me why I can believe in a 1-6 commission that's taken almost a year to arrest 10 people. Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, just show me, guys, because at the point at which I don't give a flash how you get it done, just get it done and stop wasting my time. Like I said, you're about to pass a $33 billion additionally to a country to help defend democracy, but yeah, you're not defending my democracy, my right to vote. Okay, I need some infrastructure money. Why are my sidewalks screwed up? Why is it that we got still septic tanks in the country that can't get water out to the west in a dam that was made to help keep the west fluid? What is wrong with you people?
I could tell you some places where infrastructure money is doing well. There's a couple of places I've seen that the infrastructure money is doing its thing.
Doing
so.
Yeah, but see, that's limited because then you're talking about who is getting it. Because at this point, it ain't coming, like you said, it ain't flowing through my backyard.
Well, it's also about the chief executive in these areas where, and you live in D.C., so you're all jammed up. You just guys are at the whim of those nutty senators, I guess, there are states, as you guys know, there's states that are rejecting federal funds that the federal government is offering. I think Mississippi or one of those states rejected federal funds to help with their COVID program. As a result, the COVID infections went up in that state. But there's a number of examples where Republican governors rejected funds available that came to their state, available through their state, through the federal government, because it was Joe Biden.
Are they committing treason by rejecting the federal funds to help support and sustain the people of their state, which they're not either available to do so on behalf of the state itself, or are they complying with a law that says of the 50 contiguous states, we have the authority of the federal government to impose and superimpose your state's rights? Let's get right to the point.
Well, that whole issue with states' rights has really been part of the problem, too, because, a lot of this stuff that has been ingrained from way back when is what slows the process down. You could throw money. And I agree, not everywhere in the entire country has been adversely affected by the infrastructure bill. There are plenty of places where they're getting help, but at the same time, the ones that are really catching hell are the ones that are screaming the most, And then you look at Ukraine, it's going to take a good decade or more to rebuild that if they should succeed as a democracy, But I would rather know that at least there's some stability in that part of the world, because Lord only knows what's going through Putin's head. Man's got colon cancer. He ain't thinking about who he's killing out there. It's about his legacy, as far as I'm concerned.
And you want to see some stability in that part of the world because it affects you.
Well, I would like to think that there would be some stability and put an end to these autocratic situations that are going on. You still have China to deal with. As I said last week, China owns the Caribbean. They're right at our doorstep. What are we doing? You know, I mean, it's look at Haiti. You know, what are we doing there?
We're the United States. We ain't doing nothing. We're letting we're doing our rights
of property. And that's the
Haiti,
thing. And
Haiti,
then
has been pushed to stay since they won their independence. Right? You know that. The Western countries and what France and all them, they've been, and Spain, they've been punishing Haiti since Haiti won their independence. And
right.
And, that's
and Haiti, and it's sad because the Haitian, those black people helped us way back when this country was being developed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And all this time, so all of a sudden, another world power sees where they could do something to fix the infrastructure in different places. And Haiti was on the precipice of getting some Chinese money just before the last president was. In fact, he signed off on having the money coming from China, and then all of a sudden he's assassinated. And that hasn't been figured out yet. So I don't know. You know, it's like I just wonder. You know, I just
there's definitely some nefarious stuff that went on there. Obviously, they got people about this DEA and that was a mercenary group. You know, and they were supposed, you know, whoever was supposed, nobody knows, or we don't know who was behind it. But definitely, there's some people with some large interest and large, you know, stuff at stake for them to do that. Clearly. You know,
so
I mean, that's what we're dealing with this in this country. You know, hopefully the Democrats will see if they can get their stuff together and
I hope so, man.
This stuff that's happening now should energize the party. Should be something where Democrats could just say, "See y'all, see, this is what I'm talking about," right? I mean, I don't understand why wouldn't that work? Why can't we try it? You know?
Right.
So
I thought Kamala Harris found her place, man. I hope she could just continue in that role. I mean, not to say that she can't involve herself in other areas of the administration. I know she was overseas, but you know, yesterday she really threw a quarterback. I'm sorry, what'd you say?
We've got 90 seconds.
Hey, man,
I
thought she did wonderful yesterday with that speech. We need to see more of that. And as I would say every week, you know, keep faith, keep hope alive, man. Keep the faith.
There it is. Brother Wayne Gilman, we'll talk to you again very soon, my brother. Bob Saunders.
Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. The women who are still mothering, and you may not have your own child, but continue to nurture the planet, your community, the village. We need you now to help us straighten this out. Thank you for being mother.
There it is, Brother Byron Saunders, the legendary historian. We'll talk again soon. Thanks. This is Kay's son, a friend, Kay's son. I want to get some ladies to have you. We'll get them in next week. We'll continue to talk about this, I'm sure, because it's a subject matter that we'll be trying to continue to oppress people and take them, strip us of our rights. So we must get up, stand up. I'm Citizen Payne. Citizen Payne, K-Sun. This is K-Sun and Friend. Talk to you again.